CliffCentral.com.
Oh, yeah. This was my driving song over the weekend. Love it. Well, you hear that, you think, uh-oh. And then Frank Ocean comes in, and you're like, yeah, this is good. Nice. All right, it's called Slide. Featuring Frank Ocean and Migos. Very, very nice. I hope you're off to a good start for this Monday. We've got a special thing going on. We're giving away a box, the Gareth Cliff Show box, with a whole bunch of completely unique memorabilia, stuff that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And you get to win all of this by going onto Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, tagging us in a post, showing us a person you have recently introduced to Cliff Central. Tag us along with the hashtag, sendmethebox. And at the end of the month, you could be our grand winner. So we've got one day left of the month, really. Well, it's today and tomorrow, but we've got to decide.
Today and tomorrow.
So on Wednesday, we will announce our winner. And it could be you. Only available to listeners that live in South Africa, because we've got to post this box to you. And I'm not sending it to Dubai. Unless the president will take it as hand luggage.
Yeah, you know. You must
so get your entries in. There's all kinds of stuff going into this box. Ben, any clarity on exactly what might be in there?
Gareth, like I said, it's nothing I can tell. It's going to be a surprise to whoever wins it. Put it this way. It's not going to be worth a lot in a rand sense. It'll be worth a lot in a sentimental sense.
All right. Well, I'm excited. And you know who else is excited? Is Neil. He says, morning, guys. I normally only wake up at 10, so this is very rare, which proves I need a box of memorabilia. I will send you 10 people I've told about Cliff Central. Please keep it aside for me. I'm one of your number one fans, and I would love it. My ears literally followed you guys the day you left traditional radio. Now I can't even put radio on in my car anymore. My name is Neil, so just write that on the box. So long. Thank you, Neil.
It's a very compelling entry there, Neil.
All right. And I mean, if he's introduced 10 people to us, then he's doing his job.
Let's see some pics, though.
All right. Supernova says it looks like the Rand is much more interested in Zuma being recalled than South African citizens. Was at a high pre-NEC meeting. The Rand is alive. What else is going on, Mubs? We need to know some news.
Well, I don't, I can't remember who it was that messaged in and said that South Africans are so easily distracted by, for example, racial things. Mm. I don't know if you've heard.
It's Graham.
I don't know if you've heard, but there was apparently a boycott of Spur. That actually has taken effect and gone on. There are a couple of Facebook pages, the one called Boycott Spur Steak Ranches, which was set up where Spur was described as biased, among other things. A part of that Facebook page reads, white people must stop spending their money there until the black lady with her filthy mouth is also banned. They were both wrong. So this, of course, pertains to that incident the white man who took issue with the black woman's child because, I don't know, his child was like hitting her child was hitting her child or something. It quickly went viral. And then, of course, a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon on social media. So then the Facebook page Boycott Spur Steak Ranches was set up, Gareth. And, Spur actually last week came forward and they said, you know, boycotting certain Spur franchises will hit the owners and the employees of these branches the hardest. And according to the group CEO, a minority of Spur branches have in fact been affected. What's this guy's name?
He's the CEO of Spur. I saw him making a statement about this the other day, but he's absolutely taking a position that they are not going to apologize for banning that white guy and not banning the black woman.
Yes, Spur Group CEO Mark Farrelly. Uh-huh. Now, he even went on to speak to the media and he said, well, the boycott was affecting a minority of Spur branches, mainly those in, quote, strongholds of the old Conservative Party, end
quote. Now, you see, he's playing a dangerous game here.
Which is what people have taken issue with. And so the CEO of Trade Union Solidarity, Dirk Herman, he then wrote an open letter to the Spur guy. And, you know, he's basically said that, Afrikaners are Spur people. They're family people. They saw Spur as a restaurant where they felt at home. Mark, you snapped at them and that was a mistake. He said, said this is about a community that feels estranged in the country, and now they feel estranged in their favorite restaurant as well.
Well, you see, now you got to be careful, because if you do this, if you take these guys on, these people, these ordinary citizens with their money, and you need them, you are responsible then for selling your certain branches down the river, because you're not going to change people's minds. When are you? You're a restaurant that makes, you know, you do family dinners and stuff. You're not politically conscious. Nobody goes to Spur to have conversations about racial harmony. You go there for food, and if you're going to play this game, you could get burned. And if you're going to say, oh, well, you're taking it out on the owners. No, you're making the owners the scapegoats for your political views. Don't do it. Be agnostic.
Just, you know, focus on profit. Because up until the point when that video went viral, Spur, you actually did not care about any of this. You were forced, exactly. You were made to care, yeah, because you were backed into a corner and people wanted to see you, you know, having a reaction of sort. So then you decided, okay, burn this person, da-da-da-da-da.
You fell for the mob.
Go back to just worrying about profits. You're a business. That's all you care
you
about.
You did what Mnet tried to do to me. You tried to scapegoat someone so that the mob would be quiet and happy. And look what it gets you. When you kowtow to these people, it brings you nothing but pain. And you know what? I kind of agree with them. Both those people, the white guy and the black woman, they should both be banned. Chase them out of the restaurant. It's just disgusting behavior. Like all kids who saw that, including the ones at the table whose parents they were, should be appalled by this kind of behavior. Chase them both out of your restaurant. Don't try to take sides. If you take sides, and you're obviously doing this because there was pressure on social media, as my buddy said, then you're going to get burned. They're going to end up shutting down those branches. Watch. And the only people who will suffer are the managers. And Spur can't say, it's not our fault. It's the fault of the customers. You can't do that.
I mean, a couple of the franchises have already been suffering. So it's, you know, it's having the desired effect that the people who started the boycott, you know, they're getting their desired effect. So I suppose they'll be happy about that.
But I'd love to know what happens when you get like banned from Spur. Is there a picture of you on every Spur in the country?
You know what?
Do not let this man in.
If you get banned from Spur, then there isn't another place where you can go and eat?
Yeah.
Come on.
Tell me there's not another Spur who couldn't care.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Like, unless there's a massive picture of you on every menu going, do not serve this man. You know how much that's going to cost? They're going to carve your face into their wood menu.
Yeah,
imagine that.
Yeah, you go, they change the Indian guy on the walls into like this
into
dude.
Your face, yeah.
Make him more famous than he already is. Yeah, we've got a Spur customer. Hello, yes, go ahead, sir.
I'm not saying, all I'm saying is he's.
Oh. Okay. All right, well, that wasn't very cogent at all. All right, well, we do actually have someone on the line. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Garrett.
Yes, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? I'm getting a hold of you, bro.
Yeah?
You know, you were talking about those weird sounds from outer space the other day. I think it was the other day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I hear them, bro, all the time.
What do you hear?
The Martians, bro. Listen, every time I go outside to my house at night, they tell me they're coming every single time for a couple of months now.
Hold on. You're telling me the Martians told you they're coming to Earth and you can hear them when you go outside at night. Are you crazy?
No. Listen, I've been tested. I'm not crazy. Listen, I promise you now. I think the reason why they came to talk to me was because I think I live in Stanton. Now, I know there's lots of other oceans in Stanton, but I think that's where they want to land.
They want to land in Stanton. Hold on. Can you believe this, Mabale? This guy's saying that the aliens are coming, the Martians, and that they're coming to land in Stanton, and that's why they contacted him. Can you believe this?
That's a very affluent choice by the aliens. I mean, you know, if you look at places like America, the aliens usually land in, you know, in farm communities.
Yeah, it's always in the rural areas. Yeah. What's your name? What's your name, dude?
Garrett, hold on. Not aliens, bro. They're Martians.
All right, what's your name?
Well, I don't even want to tell you my name. You know, I've got a job. I take care of people. I don't want things to get out of control. You know what I mean?
All right, so how do you know these are Martians?
Because they told me they come from Mars. I mean, I put two and two together. Mars, Martians. Apparently, they've been there for millions and millions and millions of years.
But hang on. If there are Martians and they've been there for millions of years, we've sent the rover.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, everyone says the same thing to you. You know how small that rover is, Garrett? Tiny. like a shoebox, and it goes very slowly.
Yeah.
They probably know they're there, they're hard away from it. You know, they wouldn't be surprised. I think the Martians are over there all along. They just don't want us to see anything on that planet. That's what I think. That's my opinion.
They don't want us on Mars, so they're pretending. So, in other words, they've got this rover that we've sent. We've gone to all this trouble, and they're basically keeping it like on a film set.
Yeah, it's probably stuck there that I was here, so they put some rocks there. It goes so slowly that they can make it anywhere they like. That's what I think.
So, why are these Martians talking to you? Why do they want to come here to Earth?
Well, there's some things we need. They And we've got some stuff they want. You know what I mean? Some things we take for granted. I'm telling you, but the clues are everywhere. They're coming for it.
What? What do we have that they want?
Yeah, listen, I can't say. Listen, I have to go. It'll all be revealed there. Sorry, man. Thanks.
All right. Well, there we go. Jeez.
I don't know
what to make of that.
I don't know.
Sounds like Martians are coming.
Sounds like a big weekend.
Sounds fantastic. You reckon? Wow. we'll have to keep on this story. This is pretty exciting stuff.
But I kind of like the idea. What would Martians actually want with us?
Rhinoceros.
I mean, like, if they...
if I were Martians, I'd stay the hell away from South Africa and from Africa and from Earth.
I can think of some things you want to get rid of, but I mean, what would they want?
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that story. There we go. Some dude with a... He says they talk to him outside at night. what else is going on in the news, Mubs?
Well, Gareth, it would seem that 4 months after Joost van Westhuizen's death, and there are some complications around his will.
Oh, who?
But I mean,
who didn't know this was going to happen?
This is always the case.
Open your ears and close your eyes, and you will have a big surprise.
Yeah.
This is always the case. We see it with celebrities. We see it with people who are not celebrities. You've probably seen it in your own family at some point. This is what happens.
Yeah, people fight over the money when someone dies. That's what happens.
So Joost van Westhuizen's lawyer will be launching an urgent court application that his last will be declared valid. And this is after the Master of the High Court refused to accept van Westhuizen's will, the reason being that Joost hadn't signed it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But, I mean, he couldn't move.
Well, this is exactly it. According to Joost van Westhuizen's brother, that would be Pieter van Westhuizen, and Ferdy Hartzenbach, who is or was van Westhuizen's lawyer, they confirmed to Rapport that they will indeed be bringing the application. Hartzenbach, as a commissioner of oaths, had signed it on Joost's behalf because of the motor neuron disease. It had made it, you know, it had made it difficult for Joost to sign it himself. So one professor from Stellenbosch University, that's Professor Marius de Waal, he said that it makes sense, though, that the Master of Court hadn't accepted the will.
Yeah.
When someone can't sign their own will, they must make a mark, like a cross, for example, or give a fingerprint, or they ask somebody else to sign on their behalf, which is what Joost did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all three cases, a commissioner of oaths has to be present, and the commissioner must indicate somewhere on the will that he has determined the identity and that the will is, in fact, his.
So there wasn't this commissioner of oaths?
The commissioner, of course, is this Ferdy Hartzenbach guy.
Okay, so there was a guy.
Yeah, there was a guy. He's the one that actually signed the will. Now, if the court application to approve the will is turned down, there are two options. The first one being that an older or valid testament will be used. And if there isn't one, then they go to the second option. But the problem with this older valid testament is that it will lead to a dramatic turn of events, because in that will, it states, and Rapport newspapers say that they have seen it, it states, quote, "My estranged wife Amor may not benefit at all."
Oh.
So that's in the old will, apparently.
Oh.
And then in the new will, the one that Joost couldn't sign,
he's a little more generous.
He's a little bit more generous. So
well, they did kind of reconcile towards the end, as I understood it. She was very practical about the whole thing, but it seems to me that they decided whatever's best for the kids is what they're going to do.
So that urgent court application we expect to be filed today. And, you know, in the meantime, Amor has threatened legal action if she isn't kept abreast of all developments. But, you know, it's exactly what I say. This is how This is how we are as humans when stuff like this happens. We see it everywhere. It's not just with celebrities. We see it in our own families. We know it happens with friends. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. It turns into a mess when somebody leaves.
Wow. Is there a lot of money in this thing? Do we know? Clearly, if there's this much interest, there must be some cash in the bank. I mean, I know that foundation, they did a lot to raise money to kind of help him fight the disease towards the end. And that was a noble cause, but maybe they ended up with quite a nice balance sheet. And I'm not being glib about this. It's just something that you've got to think about.
As I understand it...
No one's going to fight over an estate that's got nothing in it.
Well, yes. Yes, this is true. As I understand it, Uist was, he was covering the costs for the majority of expenses. So it would make sense that Amor is trying to, get that money because he was the one that was in charge of all of that. But I don't know, Ben. I mean, would Uist van der Westhuizen have made a ton of money because of his career, sponsorships, that kind of thing?
It's difficult to kind of say because how much of it would have gone to the medical treatment? How much of it was his foundation supporting him? He would have made decent money, but not like a huge amount because his career kind of ended. He didn't really have any like lucrative overseas contract or anything like that to really kind of bring the money home.
But I do think there were a lot of people who were helping out towards the end.
Yeah.
And who knows, they might have made, large donations. You never know. And maybe they also, he had policies to provide for the kids.
Yeah.
Who knows
yeah.
what it is?
Look, from what I understand, he definitely prioritized for the kids. So they should be fine. But, again, you hear such conflicting reports about these things.
Here's some interesting things. Spur, according to Graham, he says, maybe they should boycott the left-leaning media with their postmodernist points of view. Spur has a choice in the socialist narrative. Also, who says conservative and right-leaning individuals are all white? The right is rising against the snowflakes, and a lot of these people might be black people who think that it's unacceptable for people to behave badly in a restaurant. It's an interesting point of view from Graham this morning. I got a nice email here. Let me get to this quickly. This one's from PJ. I just want to say thanks for a show that's so informative. By the way, we do get horrible feedback as well. I like to read that from time to time too. We just haven't got it for a while. So if you have something horrible to say, please email us. I don't want it to sound like we're just saying nice things. Just finished listening, says PJ, to the Burning Platform with Justice, and was thinking it would be brilliant if I could just share the podcast through the app onto Facebook, etc. Thanks again to you and the team for informing and entertaining us every morning. Keep it up, PJ. Well, we are working on an upgrade of the app, and at some point in the next little while, we'll be doing that. So hang on there, because then it'll allow you to share it directly to social media. I actually met some people from Facebook on Friday. They were out here for a thing called BotCon. Which is like a
BotCon.
Yeah, robots, bots. Yeah. They're chat bots, basically. And they were out here, and two of them work in Palo Alto at Facebook headquarters. And then the other one is stationed here in Johannesburg. Very, very cool people. Had a nice, interesting chat to them. Anyway, we talked about what we're doing at cliffcentral.com and how they might be able to help us and what we might be able to do together. So stand by. There'll be some stuff soon. You got to keep innovating. Can't just rest in your laurels. Listen to this. This is great. Very important breaking news. Oh. The most beautiful fart of all time has been recorded. You sound disappointed. It's a big story.
I wasn't expecting that to be breaking.
It's a news. Huge story.
All right.
Massive. That's right. Okay, so the breaking news is the most beautiful fart of all time has been recorded. Listen to this, and I'll explain why. This is from Taryn Turner, all right? She says, the greatest fart ever. Listen. All right. Now, what's so special about that? Listen again. Why is that an important fart? Let's slow it down. Listen to this. Now, that is a major seventh arpeggio in the key of B flat. Do you hear that?
B flat.
That's listen, this is big. With a trill at the end. This is a very important thing. I want you to pay attention. People have got to know. Okay? Listen again. You hear that? That's how it sounds with a flute.
Oh, my word.
And again with the butt. Listen. That's incredible. And here is the compilation that they've put together, a composition of the flute, the fart. It's all, it's, this is tremendous. Literally, this composition was pulled out of someone's backside. Listen to this. Very nice.
I'll tell you what.
Not good.
If there isn't a musician out there right now looking to sample that for their next track, then I don't know what they're even doing in the music industry.
Yeah, we talk about important stuff here. I mean, ANC NEC meetings and then that. Spectacular. All right. We've got the author of The Republic of Gupta, Story of State Capture, popping by later on. Peter Louis Myberg. You don't want to miss this. There couldn't be a better time, a more appropriate time to talk about the Guptas after all the weekend revelations in the newspapers about how they run their business, how state capture has worked, what plans the president had for Dubai. Can you imagine our president wearing one of those Arab headdresses on both his heads? I mean, just picture that. That's going to be quite something to see. Don't you think? Wandering around in the desert going, we are Shisa.
But I mean, if you're looking to move to Dubai, are you moving your whole family?
I think so. I think he would take, well, listen, in his case, that's a lot of people.
Well, that's my thing.
But maybe he'll leave. Maybe he'll leave the wife who tried to poison him back here.
Yeah, she doesn't really deserve a trip.
I don't think he's going to take her. But really, can you imagine him living anywhere else? I mean, Idi Amin had to flee to Saudi Arabia after the Ugandans chased him out. And he went to live in Saudi Arabia. He died there.
But this is really just borderline admission of guilt. This is when you know how dodgy you are. So he can be all naive in the press and go, what did I do wrong? Tell me what I did wrong. Why are you even looking to go live there? This is a guy who... Zulu heritage, wants to live in Kandla, and Kandla is like his place, right? Where does the UAE even come into this? Because he's guilty of something, and he knows it.
Look, again, you know, you said that Ugandans chased Idi Amin out. I ask this question again. Are we not able to chase people out in this country?
What's the protocol for an out-chasing?
Yes,
how
man.
How do we start it?
No, I'm going to look into this. We got a couple of people that we could do without in this country.
Yeah.
Oh, you're telling me. But I mean, there aren't enough planes leaving the country on any given day to chase all these people out. This is amazing. This is from an interview with Idi Amin when he was in Saudi Arabia. I thought it might be useful for us to kind of refer back to this. It's the only example of someone who also had planned an escape to the Middle East. Idi Amin, he said, "My people love me despite being chased out of the country." Right.
I dream when I was still a couple that I will become the highest man in the armed forces, general, and also I will be president of this country. And it happened. You see?
Did you have any other dreams in the last little while? I mean, if you had any dreams about anything that's going to happen in the world or any other things that are happening around?
It comes to me from time to time.
Idi Amin, one of the most colorful and outrageous rulers in the world today. With a brilliant understanding of power, he rules Uganda by a simple yet effective method. He has wiped out all opposition.
Well, that might sound familiar in some respects, right? Because that's what the president's done in the ANC. This was Idi Amin's favorite song.
Oh. Very pleasant.
Yeah, very nice. This was recorded in
There's a certain charm
60s,
in the man.
70s.
Yet the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court was dragged from the bench and murdered by Amin's army. His second foreign minister was found floating in the Nile. The most troublesome of his four wives was found hacked to pieces in the trunk of a car. Thousands have fled into exile. And up to 80,000 have been murdered.
That everybody, they loves me. And therefore, I am one of their hero in the country. And therefore, everybody is responsible for my security. I am not afraid because I know exactly how and when I will die. This I know. I dream when I was still a couple that I will become president of this country, and it happened.
There we go. Well, that's what he thought would happen. He didn't know that he would die in Saudi Arabia. So if it was God talking to him in his sleep, God lied to him.
Yeah.
How do you like that? So there's another guy who decided to gap it to the Middle East once. Just so we can draw some parallels, you know. This is not a new narrative. I also have to, you have to ask, what does this mean for the crown prince or whatever he is of Saudi Arabia, I mean of the UAE, the one who they were talking to in those emails? Does this mean that he's happy to have sleazy, unpopular thievery on his balance sheet when he says, oh yeah, well, we come and live in my country, it's great, because this is going to reflect badly on him. Now, I reckon there was probably some pretty frustrating calls from Pretoria to Dubai last night. And I would imagine Dubai are asking some questions about Pretoria today. Because they're going, well, don't, whoa. We're trying to be a first world country here. We've started, you know, 50 years ago, Dubai was a desert. There was nothing there. And I established themselves as a major tourist destination. They're integrating into the rest of the world. It's a hub for all kinds of innovation. They're really trying very hard to position Dubai as being the best thing in the Middle East. And it's debatable, but I think it probably is.
Well, just to create the center of the world, basically. That's what they feel they are.
So if that's the case, they don't want to be associated with our sleazy president.
Well, I mean, the emails seem to suggest that they were at least willing to have a conversation about it.
Well, it was so pathetic, because what our president is doing is he's kneeling down and rubbing his hands and asking, please, can we have your patronage? He actually used the word patronage. And could we make this our second home? Now, that's sad. That's not the leader of a country. That's a frightened little man. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the way for a leader to behave. And if the UAE accepts that kind of behavior, now that this is public, it's got to look bad for them with the rest of the world community. Dubai has got to say, well, hang on, we're going to rescind that offer, actually. I'm going to chase you out, and we'll chase the Guptas out. We're a real country. You can go and find somewhere else to go and shack up when you get kicked out.
Yeah, and the sooner they say that, the better, because the speculations are really running pretty rife around this.
I mean, we've got listeners in Dubai, and I know that it'll get around. But this is bad news. South Africa and Dubai, we've been trying to foster a good relationship. If it turns out that we're just basically being tolerated because our president is begging for the indulgence of the ruler of that country, it doesn't position us as a country with real agency making its own decisions. It positions us as a weak, feeble fifth wife who doesn't have much hope of getting to see her husband, so she's begging. She's knocking on his door begging. That's what we look like.
Getting back to like a conspiracy theory of some sorts, what happened to Gaddafi's gold?
Oh, we still don't know. We still don't know where it is.
It was kind of looked after here. Maybe that gold went with one of the Gupta grandmothers.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of speculation on this.
And I'm not saying this about Dubai, but everyone has a price, an entrance fee into a club. Even if you go to a nightclub and you've got the wrong dress code, you give the bouncer enough money, you'll still get in.
Very good. Mm. Very good point.
So it could be one of those analogies.
Yeah, everyone has a price the world over.
And if you've got someone else's goal, that could maybe sort of get you the VIP area.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, also, when the pot starts getting hot, you're not going to sit in there and chill and burn. Of course the president is looking to make an escape. Anyone would. Like, if you have things to account for,
you don't want to go
your
to jail.
Knee-jerk yeah. reaction, your survival instinct is going to be, well, try and run away from it.
I would like to.
That's what he's doing.
I would like to not go to jail.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go to jail.
I mean, Idi Amin went to Saudi Arabia.
Not a great place.
I wouldn't want to retire there. I mean, it's quite, the weather's not pleasant.
What do you think of this? This is kind of crazy. What a place to go and live for the rest of your life in exile.
But if you also look at the Zuma clan, right, there's a lot of people. So, I mean, I'd love to know what the guest list would be. It would be like having a wedding going, oh, okay, well, I haven't seen them in a while, so they're probably not going to come. You know, we can only take 33.
Mm. Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's a criteria breakdown.
That's bad. All right, what I do want to play for you is this is a recording of some woman who's trying to... I don't know if I ever played this for you before, but I found it the other day again, and I thought you need to hear it. This is like a hippie, and she's trying to save the trees... And she goes into the forest and she commiserates with the trees because we've cut down all of their friends to make paper and furniture and houses and all that kind of thing. So this is she's a tree hippie. She's apologizing to the trees for what humans have done to them. Listen to this.
Tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die. That there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees, that we care.
Sounds like anyone's normal day, Gareth. That's what we all do on the weekend.
How's that? I mean, she's very passionate about these trees. She sounds like she's got a major, major guilt complex about the trees that we've killed.
I just hope they're listening.
They are saying, I saw a report the other day, they're saying that scientists are busy looking into what plants do when they're threatened. And apparently plants emit like a smell or a taste, some kind of communication signal to other plants that they're going through distress. This is going to upset vegans who've constantly told us, well, they don't want to hurt anything. But if plants are still screaming to each other, oh, Jesus, this thing's about to eat me, mm-hmm. and you're a vegan and you think you're not hurting anybody, I think that sort of proves that you are.
Ouch, but I mean, then what will they eat, Gareth? Don't take the plants away from them.
There's nothing. Then you've just got to, I mean, what could you eat?
Soil.
Okay. Handfuls of soil? I don't think you'll last very long on that.
Life is a game of winners and losers. That's all it comes down to.
So at the moment, it's the plants that are the losers?
Everyone's got to lose so someone can win, Gareth.
Oof.
Did you guys hear the story about a groom who called off his wedding after a video surfaced from his fiancée's bachelorette party? Where basically her friends organized for the stripper to have sex with her. So they recorded the whole thing. And you've got all these women surrounding the two of them as they're having sex, and they're all chanting, go, 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 go. But then some idiot from the bachelorette party leaked the video, and so the groom ended up seeing it, and now he's called off the wedding.
That's quite hardcore, though. And she banged the stripper?
Yeah,
and
sure.
And her friends were all like cheering.
Yeah, no, they all...
That's like what the guys would be doing. I'm surprised that the girls were doing this.
Well, you know, it's
and that... how long have they been doing this for?
It's that whole thing of, you know, women starting to care less and less about...
you could say it's empowering.
About staying, you know, holy for their men.
I've been to a certain club here in Johannesburg where they have loads of bachelorettes. I've never seen the girls doing this before.
No, I can't even tell which country this was happening in.
Exciting.
But yeah, this, you know, it would seem like the friends thought, oh, how cool would it be for us to organize a sexy stripper for her to just, like, give her like a good pounding.
You know what we should do again?
Which is what happened.
I just hope he wasn't forced.
I think we should get those, I think we should get those male strippers that we had the last time in here and ask them for any updates for these bachelorette parties. Cause this sounds like the kind of thing that they would have inside info on. Yeah. If anyone's going to know, it'll be the strippers because they don't have anything to lose by telling the story, right?
Look, I reckon every group of friends has got a, let's call her Brenda. He rocks up there with about a liter of Four Cousins already in her, and she's going to raise the roof. She acts like it's her bachelorette party, and she will peer pressure the hell out of you to do stuff.
Well, I mean, look, we know that female strippers have sex with clients.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the male strippers?
Especially in this economy.
Especially in this economy. Especially in a time, you know, where women are like, yeah, no, I'm allowed.
And I reckon
I've got nothing to prove anymore.
That Charles Sam Brenda character's probably got $1,000 in her pocket and goes, come on. You know, take
come on,
it.
Let's
just take
it.
Yeah, it's a special day. Her husband's not that great. Just do it. And he'll be like, okay.
Listen, I went to a bachelor's party, what was it, last Saturday? And there's always a lot of drinking. Mm. There wasn't a stripper this time, which I was kind of grateful for because there's always one or two awkward people around strippers. Like, I've been to strip clubs. I'm not uncomfortable around a stripper. You treat her like any other human being. A lot of guys don't get that. They're very uncomfortable around the stripper, and then they ask awkward, inappropriate questions. And the stripper looks at them like, oh my God, this is obviously your first rodeo. And then everybody feels bad about it. And then you just want her to leave because it's not working. And she looks like she would rather be in hell than with you. I mean, it's just, it's so awkward for some people. So I'm always grateful when there isn't a stripper. Because some of the tour, the entourage, are not necessarily, they don't know what to do.
They don't deserve nice things.
No, they don't. They don't deserve nice things because it's a thing. It's a big deal to them. This woman, she's doing a job. She's there to earn money. She's not interested in being your friend. She's not going to sleep with you. And if she is, she's going to say what her price is. So stop being uncomfortable and awkward around her. It makes everybody unhappy. You know what I mean?
Well, always kind of, you don't ever disrespect her, of course.
No, you've got it. There's certain rules. And this is the other thing. It's like some guys don't know that there are rules.
Yeah.
Like there are very strict rules around this kind of thing. You've got to know what you're doing. You can't behave like an idiot. You'll embarrass us all.
Look, it's just like a singer or a magician or, you know, or like a celebrity chef. They're all there to provide a service.
Yeah.
There's nothing more than that.
Mm. Well, that's
it. Doesn't make them either less or more important than anyone else.
Anyway, so that I went to this thing. Everybody just got really drunk, mostly the groom-to-be. We lost a lot of people on the way. Like one guy, I think we left in one of the venues, the other guy. And I always try to maintain a certain level of sobriety. I'm not sober, but I want to know what's going on because you could get into some serious trouble in these situations. You know, you could end up in a place you don't want to be in. And you just got to look out. You've got to keep your wits about you. Now, if these girls that my buddy's talking about, if they did this at someone's house, and then the other girls are crowding around and they're like, yeah, yeah, go for it, bang the stripper. Mm. That's a hardcore bachelorette party. I've never been to a party that got that wild.
But would this be like a basic line in the sand here, guys or girls, that if you sleep with the stripper, you probably shouldn't marry this person?
I think it might be a deal breaker.
Well, it was a deal breaker for this groom because he's apparently called off the wedding, but that's only because some idiot leaked the video.
Damn you, Brenda. Screw you. I don't care if you got the new iPhone 7. Stop filming the stripper.
I also don't understand why it has to be so crazy because, let's face it, if you're going to marry somebody, you've decided that is the best decision for you. You want to be with this person.
Sure, should be.
So then why do you have this big night of my last night of freedom? I mean, surely you're trading in that freedom and that selfishness for something you hope is better. You want to take things up a level. You want to make it nicer.
Yeah, it's Hollywood, Gareth.
Meaningful.
Again, it's Hollywood. They just keep telling
you think
us
like
these,
The Hangover, that kind of movies.
All this crap that Hollywood feeds us about life. It's so not true at all. Like, life is perfect, and you must have this big bachelor party, and you must lose your shit and get crazy in Vegas.
Yeah, I suppose there's also that kind of
thing.
Hollywood
don't know,
feeds
though.
Us this stuff.
I don't know, guys. I mean, yes, Hollywood has a play in it, but I mean, you know, also we don't like to take accountability for our behavior.
So what would you okay.
Like, let's also blame ourselves and not just Hollywood.
No, sure. Okay, look, I'm not saying this is the solution, but Mubs, what would your perfect bachelorette party be?
Oh, gosh. No.
Oh, hell.
Now, come on.
Oh, hell. No. This is going to be bad.
We've got time.
I haven't even thought that far because I know for a fact I'm never having one
Fine.
Of those.
Just off the cuff, what would it be? I'll share mine if you share yours. You go first.
See, I don't want to get drunk to the point where I'm sick and vomiting all over the place or I'm unconscious and I don't know what happened because I blacked out.
Nobody wants that. Hey, good morning.
Hey, Gareth.
What's up, dude?
Cool, man. John from Dubai.
Hey, nice. What's happening over there? Have you seen any strange houses going up with, like, Zulu themes?
Well, when our friends moved across a couple of months ago, we actually went to go and have a look at their place in Emirates Hills, and it's this humongous palace. You know, and I was kind of saying back then already, I think that they are trying to get something ready for someone else to come across.
No, this
know,
is but, you've actually but, seen the Gupta House in Emirates Hills.
Yeah, it's Emirates Hills. It's a humongous thing, and you cannot stand there too long. You know, before the security comes along and you know just tell you to move along.
Oh, really?
And you know, that's the Emirates Hill security. It's not their own private security. But the point I'm trying to make is that even if Jay-Z had to come across, I don't think he's going to be the most dodgiest person. Yeah, I mean, there's some guys out here that you can see, you know, from Russia.
I'm looking at who's got houses there. The billionaire owner and chairman of the Stallion Group, Sunny Viswani, The president of Zimbabwe has a son who has a house there. So Robert Mugabe Jr. lives there. Asif Ali Zardari, the former president of Pakistan, has a house there. The Gupta family. Let me see. Nawaz Sharif, the prime minister of Pakistan. There's some dodgy people. I can see what you mean.
Yeah, the thing is, we lived in Jumeirah Beach residence a couple of years ago, and I don't know who it was, but one of the Pakistani prime ministers or government officials were living in the tower that we were living in. Mm-hmm. And it was such a mission every single morning to try and get out, because they would have their own private security hold the lift for them to come down from the top. They obviously got the penthouse top. And then, you know, so we were like on the 12th floor, and then some mornings we had to take the stairs down because these guys all blocked the lift for this dude to come down. And then once you get to the bottom car park, all these like SUVs and
I'm reading here that it consists of the first freehold properties to be sold in the Emirates. The project was classified as a freehold open to anyone to purchase. The majority of owners hail from the Indian subcontinent, Iran, and Western Europe. The developer Imar Properties pioneered the idea of freehold property in Dubai. Over time, all the plots were sold. Some of the residents included the late Benazir Bhutto, managing director of Ghent Middle East, Abdul Rahman Abdul Ariz, the owner of Alpha Smart Security Systems, and the owners of the Middle East Broadcasting Center and Habib Bank. Emirates Hills Properties looks out over the fairways of the Montgomery, an 18-hole championship golf course created by architect Desmond Muirhead and 7-time European Order of Merit winner Colin Montgomery. How do you like that?
Yeah, I'll send you a link. There's a local blogger who's actually been inside one of the houses in Emirates Hills, and he actually went into a guy's garage, and these dudes were eating pizza off the floor because of the marble floor. I mean, it's quite sickening to watch.
Wow.
And they've got all the, like a Bugatti and Ferrari in that, and they order pizza, and they take the pizza out of the box and eat it off the marble floor of the garage.
Jeez.
That's like, so, yeah, but one of those things.
Unbelievable.
Interesting.
What a crazy place Dubai is. It's insane. What do you do there?
I work in development, so I cannot say the name of the company, but it's good. We've been here for many years, and it's been good to us. And we go home often, and still love South Africa. Yeah, but it's good here.
Sure. No. I don't want you to get into trouble.
No, for sure. No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we've been here many, many years, and we've got loads of South African friends here, and it's been good to us. But there's also, it's like any other country in the world where there's a little bit of an undercurrent. You know, you just, you know. Like anywhere else in the world.
You've got a better line. It's better taking your call from Dubai than taking any call locally. It sounds like you are closer than any of them.
Well, maybe they should make the Minister of Police the Minister of Telecommunications.
Then maybe things would happen, right?
Anyway.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Cheers.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Bye. All right, there we go. Dubai, the new place of the super elite.
They'll take stuff in, huh? They'll take the money.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking they wouldn't have an issue with this. In fact, the more infamous you are, the more they probably want you.
Well, they also know that with infamy comes cash deals.
Yeah.
You're not going to be taking a bond if you've...
And you've got a level of desperation, too. Like, if you're going to run away...
There's a markup there.
Yeah, sure. So there's a discomfort fee.
You're not a thrifty buyer.
No. You're not looking for actual value. You're looking for an escape.
Package deals, no questions asked.
Can you imagine if the president just gapped it? Like, one morning we woke up and he just wasn't here anymore?
He was just gone.
Huh? I mean, we'd know where to find him, but what would we do? Do we have an extradition treaty with Dubai?
Well, Dubai's part of the ICC, right?
Yeah.
Or are they not?
I think they are.
Because that was another theory about yesterday, is that's why Zuma and the ANC were so keen to get away from the ICC, because if they do that, then he can't be pulled away from anywhere.
Well, we're also part of the ICC, but remember, we let Omar al-Bashir get away, even after the court said keep him there. And, you know, we were just like, screw that, go home.
All right, here are a few messages we need to get to, and the first one is from Quercy. He says, what's the latest on the Cliff Central box Please ask my Bali to throw in some of her equipment from the dungeon in the box. Maybe a set of cuffs with a chain or a strap-on toy that's been exposed to some of her special juices.
Gosh.
Jesus.
No.
That's a big request.
That's a lot, yeah. That's a lot to
I'll
ask.
I'll throw in a blindfold,
yeah,
maybe.
A blindfold, maybe. That's all you're going to get. Yeah. How
stuff,
dare you?
That stuff is purpose-built. You can't just be throwing it away willy-nilly. No. It gets designed and imported.
Did everybody see that video of Donald Trump pushing the guy from Montenegro out of the way?
Is it real?
It's totally real.
Every time I watch this, like, how can this be real?
Okay, it's wait. There have been so many videos in the last few days. There was also the video of him and the Pope, right?
Yeah.
Where he tries to hold the Pope's hand, but the Pope shoos him away or something.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah, look,
well,
that's
the thing. Is people are obviously editing these videos.
Well, Donald Trump's very funny. And then I put up a picture on my Instagram yesterday of like the Adams family. They've edited the Adams family into the Trump and Melania and Ivanka picture with the Pope. And it doesn't even look strange. It looks totally normal. Seeing it is believing it. You have to go and take a look at this. Just go to my Instagram. It's GR Cliff and you can see the whole thing. I put that up and I put up the video of him pushing the president of Montenegro out of the way. This guy he's just unbelievable. So listen to this. The David Attenborough, they've done a kind of a version of the Trump pushing the president of Montenegro out of the way. It's sort of with the whole planet Earth theme going.
With more mature and competent members of his species forming a defensive wall in front of him, the aging Donald senses he is in danger. Fearful of seeming inferior, he claws his way to the front of the pack and engages a pair of females. Unable to assert dominance physically, the Donald tries another tactic, threatening vocalizations.
NATO members must finally contribute their fair share.
Unshaken by his boastful maneuvering, the other adults can only roll their eyes and mimic the sound of laughter as they move forward in their day's quest. Exhausted from his journey, the Donald must regain his strength if he is to survive another day.
Oh, wow. So there's another president who's embarrassing his whole country.
But it really is. You can't break it down as like animal behavior.
Totally animal, especially with Donald Trump.
The aging Donald is overcompensating.
Yeah. And he is. He pushes this guy. He elbows him out of the way and he grimaces. And then he pretends to do up his jacket and he kind of looks around. He puffs out his chest. Yeah. And then he looks around. And then there's a woman standing there and she's extended her hand for him to shake. And he first looks at her, he looks at her hand, and he bristles a little bit, and then he kind of, oh, okay. But he doesn't actually shake her hand.
It's like when Macron didn't address him first, and how he then tries to pull the guy's arm off in a handshake.
Did you see that handshake? Very forceful, very violent. And then there was another thing that happened. He referred to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada as Justin from Canada. He didn't say the president, the prime minister, the leader of Canada. He goes, oh, Justin from Canada. Like, you know, you could mean Bieber.
Yeah, you know, he's got to, you know what I mean? He's got to keep to the right title for clarity's sake, Mr. President.
This guy, he's like, oh, I was talking to Justin from Canada. And then there's a picture of Justin Trudeau from Canada who is, like, he's a bit of a milksop, this guy. He really is.
What's a milksop?
He's a weak little man. He's not a man.
Gary doesn't care for this guy.
I really don't. Justin Trudeau is just, and I've got to be careful about using this word because I don't mean homosexual, but he's gay. He's just lame.
Yeah.
That kind of gay. You know, I mean, when you say the word like that is so gay. Mm. Gay? You don't mean.
So he's like an unfunny version of Will and Grace, basically.
Correct. Correct. Justin Trudeau is showing Angela Merkel his socks. He's wearing like these pink socks. And there's a picture of him. It's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. This is the Prime Minister of Canada. He's stooping down and he's lifting up his trouser leg to show Angela Merkel his socks. Now, I mean, first of all, I don't think Angela Merkel cares about what socks Justin Trudeau is wearing.
I disagree. I reckon she's got some fruity things in the cupboard too.
You think?
Yeah.
No.
That Angela Merkel's
Angela
a
Merkel
goer.
Looks...
I reckon if she goes to bachelorette parties, shit gets going. She's that friend.
No.
Definitely.
Angela Merkel looks like the sort of person who I don't think she has had any kinky, dodgy, naughty, bad things in her. Not a thing.
I reckon she'd walk around my buddy's basement and go, yeah, just good.
you think so?
Definitely.
Oh, okay, well. Justin is the one who apparently all the ladies love.
Yeah, they love him.
Because they say he's good looking.
He's dreamy. Yeah, he's so dreamy.
He has stupid looking hair.
He does.
All other politicians look like the back of a bus.
He has floppy hair like Hugh Grant had in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
It looks stupid.
If I became a politician, I'd be referred to as a heartthrob. I mean, come on, the bar is low.
No, Ben.
Why are you laughing at Lucas?
No, Ben. I think in the category of world leaders, because typically world leaders are not attractive at all. Exactly. It's always ugly men. Mm. I think in that category, he's the best looking one. Exactly. So that's why people are like, well, Justin. Yeah, world leaders are ugly typically.
They spent their whole lives just being horrible to other people, and that makes you look like that.
It eats up your soul. Exactly. But this Justin Trudeau, he trades quite highly on his looks. He reckons it's a major plus in how he runs Canada. And Donald Trump just refers to him as Justin from Canada.
Well, you remember how Donald Trump, or maybe not Donald Trump, but you remember how America decided back in March this year that they were banning the carrying of laptops from at least 10 airports? Mm-hmm. Well, their next move is for them to make that the world over. So regardless of country you're going to be flying into America from, their plan is to try and stop every single one of us from having our devices.
Listen. Anything's a weapon if you use it horribly. A bottle of water could be a weapon. Are you telling me that now every laptop is considered some kind of dangerous explosive device?
Yes, Gareth, the Americans say so. And the Americans say that we must all remember that Americans are the number one, targets for anybody else in the world. We're always trying to take Americans out. Therefore, they have to protect themselves. And this is one of the ways.
I don't know how much I want to go back there. If I can't even take my own laptop on board. I have to put that into my cabin luggage, into my check-in luggage, which means it's going to get stolen at O.R. Tambo.
Your laptop, your phone, your iPad, all of them. Not a single device will be allowed on your person while you're flying. Not one.
See, that doesn't make any sense. So you have to wait.
This is paranoia.
Like your phone.
This is paranoia. This is ridiculous. You should be embarrassed that this is the kind of thing you're touting around. It shows that you're a frightened nation of losers if you do this. And Americans aren't losers. They should stand up. Their president isn't. He says he's not a loser. So what's wrong with you guys? Come on. Get your shit together. Coming up in a little while, we'll speak to the author of The Republic of Gupta. There couldn't be a more appropriate day to have this guy in. The Story of State Capture. It's Peter Louis Myberg. He's going to be our guest in the next little while. He's an investigative journalist. He has written extensively on the Prasa situation and what a disgrace that was. So we could talk to him about that too. But I think today, if you've got any questions, you can get them in on the WhatsApp line. That's 0797482090. If you want to call us on 0861-555-189, or you can even send us a WeChat message on WeChat. You know how to do that too. All right. Very good. It's going to be a busy morning today. I hope you're ready for a nice start to your week. CliffCentral.com, keeping you company today. CliffCentral.com.